Ma ei tea, kas mulle tundub või on eelmise nädala jooksul on nii palju väliskülalisi Tallinnas olnud erinevate kunstiüritustega seoses, nii et alles kolmapäeval rääkisime Buenos Airesest ja täna siis tuleb juttu Istanbulist. Nasli Kürlak, kes on siin 4 päeva olnud, erinevaid stuudiovisiite tegemas ja kunstikega kohtumas. Ta on vabakutseline kuraator, kriitik ja töötab sellises meedia videokunsti kogus nagu Borusan ja on tulnud just siia selle pilguga ringi vaatama, et kaasata Eesti kunstnike oma tulevastesse näituse projektidesse. Sun Nasli, thanks so much for coming. The floor is yours.
Thank
We're
you.
All ears.
Thanks a lot for inviting me. I'm actually really happy to be here. It's my last day. I've been here for 5 days. And I met, I did many studio visits by now. And I met some really, truly amazing artists. And I'm really, really glad that you invited me for this research. And I am just hoping that it will be the beginning of many exciting new collaborations. So, hi, thank you a lot for coming here. My name is Nazlı, I'm a curator and writer and I live in Istanbul. But that's not always where I lived. I lived abroad for, I think, 8 or 9 years. I left for my studies when I was 20, when I was 19. I studied painting, studio practice and art history in Florence, Italy. And then I did an MA in curating in London. And I knew that I always, I was born in Istanbul, raised in there, and I always knew that I wanted to go back after my studies and do things there and do things in my own city, from my own city, but also facilitating things between Istanbul and other places where I lived, but also beyond. It was in 2009 when I got back to Istanbul, it was a really almost a magical moment. It was really the beginning of new things. It was a very special moment for all of us because the Istanbul art scene was just very small in its baby steps yet and things were just starting to grow. And I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to make part of the community there and grow things all together. And so that's what I did. That's why I got back. And now I will actually talk to you about a few of the projects that I've been involved in Istanbul and the Istanbul art scene in general as well. And of course, at the end, if you have questions, I will be very happy to hear them. So now, the current project that I'm working on is with this museum in Istanbul that's called Borusan Contemporary. It's basically a corporate collection. So it's an art, contemporary art collection owned by a corporation. It's an industrial corporation. It is a museum also, but it's an office museum. So during the weekdays, that building, the red one that you see in the middle of the picture there, is that's the headquarters of this corporation. And during the weekdays, employees work in there. And during the weekends, it's turned into an art museum. So works that we show, they are shown in the office spaces of inside this building. And I'm working as the curator of the collection there. So I'm basically curating exhibitions from the permanent collection. This image here shows one of the large meeting rooms with a piece, a permanent installation by Keith Sonier, and also, of course, a permanent site-specific installation by Jerry Zinyuk on the walls. Okay, so an overview of the museum would be there are around 700 works in the collection and it's a relatively new collection which started in the beginning of the 90s. They basically first started collecting painting and photography and a few sculptures. And in the last 5 years, they've been more prominently collected new media art. So artworks that are computer-based, sound installations, light installations, and multi-channel video works. My project there actually is exhibitions from the permanent collection. And these, so you see this image here is also again one of the offices, and you see how the works are installed inside the offices. This is a picture taken during the weekends in which you see visitors walking into the offices to see the works, to see the artworks. This series, I'm basically making selections from the permanent collection, and it's a thematic selection. When actually I was invited by Borusan to, in a way, provide a new look, a fresh look into the collection, I decided that it would be thematic, because when I first started doing research in the collection, I saw there were some things that were, they immediately caught my eye. I saw that some choices were really obvious. Some themes even were very obvious. That's why I decided to base the whole selection on these themes. And these themes are earth, water, and air. The series of exhibitions, it's a series of three exhibitions, and it's titled Common Ground, Earth, Water, and Air. So basically, it's works from the collection that are brought together in their relationships with these, with the concepts of these three commons, which are earth, water, and air. This is the first one, which opened last year in March. And this is the second one, which opened last year in November. We are changing almost more or less every 6 months. And this is the third one, which is on view right now. As I briefly mentioned in the beginning, this is an industrial corporation, and they started by building steel water pipes back in the 50s. And it's one of the largest industrial corporations in Turkey, and they are collecting art. And because I saw that there were some very obvious choices between their industrial activities and their collecting activities, with the series, I decided that it would be good to highlight those choices. So this is what it is. And this is one more example of installation in the office. But obviously, these working in the office areas, it's a huge challenge curatorially for me, because it's not a white cube. And other than very practical challenges, which I can describe as like the limitations that are posed by walls, and the many spaces are separated by glass walls and things like that, I think my main challenge is towards the audience, because I have for the first time ever as a curator, I have a double audience. It's not an art audience only. But they are the employees of the corporation that I'm showing the collection to as well. So generally, of course, as a curator, it's always very interesting to think about what we are doing, how we are doing, and for whom we are doing. And here, it's basically a double folded question. So this is the second project that I would like to talk about. And it was before this project at Borusan, so it was two and a half years ago. It was at this gallery called Maçka Sanat Galerisi in Istanbul. I was invited there to curate a year-long program, and it was the 35th year anniversary of this gallery. This gallery is a significant place for us because it was opened in 1976, and it's in the heart of Istanbul. It's right in the city center. And it was special because the 70s and the 80s were a time when in Istanbul, but of course also in Turkey in general, there were no really art spaces. There were very few public galleries that were run by municipalities. And then there was the State Academy of Fine Arts. But there was really no space, no independent free space where art was being produced and shown. So when this gallery opened, they did a very radical thing of showing art that was being displayed in Europe, in France, for instance, at the same time, or in the US, or in other parts of the world that were outside, in Western world, let's say, of course, that outside of Turkey. So for the first time, it was the first gallery that followed the artistic tendencies at the same time and not with a time lapse. It's also significant because as you see, the whole gallery, its floors, the floors and the walls are covered in square-shaped ceramic tiles. So it's quite a challenging design. It can be a nightmare for some artists, as it's been shown. It's a creative challenge as well. So and it's been always like this. It was designed as a gallery, not as a bathroom, not as a Turkish bath. This very specific design, it actually opened the way to the production of site-specific work in Turkey. back in time in the 80s. And also conceptual work and also institutional critique, because whoever artist was invited to show work in the space, they automatically felt like they had to deal with these very dominant architectural features. So I was invited there for the 35th year anniversary, and I decided to invite a younger generation of artists who are, let's say, conceptually oriented, or let's say make conceptual work. It was a series of six solo exhibitions. This is one of them. It's a solo by artist Izosta. They're all artists from Turkey, all working in Istanbul. And most of these artists, they worked with the history or the architecture of the gallery. The gallery holds a really good archive, which is a very rare thing in Istanbul as well, because in Turkey archives are not kept well, and our history with our relationship with our own history is very much interrupted. So many artists who came, who were invited to show to make new pieces, they were all new works that were commissioned for the series. They felt the urge of dealing with the archive, or as I said, with the history or with the architecture of the space, which is also, again, of course, historically very dense. This is again another picture from one of the presentations that took place during the program during that year at Maçka, because the gallery presents a very important angle in the Turkish art history, which is, let's say, postmodern production, artistic production. Well, we all delved into that history and we learned a lot. It was a great experience, but I did not want to limit it and even fetishize it, you know? So I wanted to put it in comparison with other things that were going on at the same time during those years in other places. So I invited Liza Baer, who is a journalist and a filmmaker from the US, from New York. And she is one of the two founders of Avalanche magazine, which was a magazine that was initiated in 1972. And it was an artist's magazine. Maybe you know of it. And it was an artist magazine. It was for artists, and it showed artists' work. It was almost like an exhibition space in printed format. So Liza came and she made a presentation. It was a presentation followed by an archival exhibition. So we showed footage like video works and also documentation from this Avalanche archive in the gallery. The attention was huge, especially from the art students in Istanbul. So almost each school came in groups and they spent a lot of time. The presentation also received a great attention. So I saw that it was really necessary to draw these comparisons between the modernity or postmodernity processes in between places. And it was a very, I think, useful and productive comparison for everyone. Okay, so this is another project in another space, which is a non-profit space owned. Okay, I should also say that Maçka, this gallery, is privately funded, almost non-profit gallery, which basically relied on the entrepreneurial but also philanthropic initiative of one private collector. In that sense, this one is similar. This is of course newer. It opened, I think, 3 years ago, or even maybe four years ago. It's owned again by a collector, and it's again completely privately funded. We don't have any governmental funding in Turkey at all. So all that is done in terms of art is made with private funding and private initiatives. So this is a space owned by collector Nesin Esirtlian. It's called Nesin Esirtlian Collection. I was invited to curate an exhibition there. And basically, I curated a group show that was titled Trocadero. Trocadero was the name of a theater that was there in the place of this exhibition space back in the 19th century. It doesn't exist now. It was demolished in the beginning of the last century to have a residential apartments building. So it was one of the first examples of gentrification, or let's say urban transformation in the city. It's a building, it's not a residential building anymore, as it used to be, but now it houses five art galleries, two restaurants, some graphic agencies and so on. So it's kind of this, it's this creative hub, which is on the main streets at the very center of Istanbul. So that's why the exhibition is titled Trocadero. It's titled after that theater that's been long gone and long forgotten. It's even really difficult to find any traces of that theater, like any documentation is, it's you don't really find anything like that. It was not really easy to find traces at all. The only thing I'm sure about is that there was a theater there, and it was called Trocadero. And so the group show brought together 11 artists, I think, and more or less most of them were from Turkey, and there was Sarkis from Turkey, there was Lawrence Wiener, but then there was Leyla Gediz İzöztat, Deniz Gül, and Aslı Çavuşoğlu, Özlem Altın, Ali Miharbi, all these younger artists. I have commissioned new work to all these artists and produced works for the exhibition. This is also, I think maybe it's also significant to say that this space, Nesin Esirtilen collection, is the only in Istanbul. We don't have funding, but it's also very difficult to find support for the production of new work. There is only one institution that's called Artar, which I will be talking about in a bit. But this is the only space, only it's much, obviously much smaller scale, but it's the only space after Artar which provides support to the production of new work. This is another project that was before that at 5533, which is an artist-run initiative. It's the only one that remained from. There were many artist initiatives in the beginning of the 2000s, but then Istanbul's art scene got increasingly commercial, and they couldn't survive. They closed down. 5533 is the only one that remained, and it's still there. It was founded and still run by two artists, Volkan Aslan and Nancy Atakan. This was a project there titled Share. It was a project that brought together students from local Sabancı University and a university and art academy from Poland, Saint-Just. The space now, it also makes part of this inventory of, I don't know exactly what it's called, but worldwide artist-run initiatives that's been published by a new museum a couple of years ago, and it's part of it. And we are proud that it exists and it survives. And this is Dialogue Art from Turkey inside Vienna Fair. It was, I was invited by Vienna Fair, who wanted to have a special focus on Turkey, on contemporary art from Turkey. When they posed the question of like, who should come, like what should be shown? I thought that it was, I thought of making a fair presentation of the scene in Istanbul, and I decided that it would include galleries, and it included six of them. But I thought that it had to include museums, institutions, non-profits, and other artist-led organizations as well. So that's what we did. All you see around there are booths by six galleries that included Mars, Rampa, Nev, Rodeo, Empire, and Non. But we also had a kind of a space where publications from spaces that were not represented by booths in the fair were represented by their publications. So people could come and go through, flip through the publications and get a wider sense of what was happening in the city. And then we also had a series of panels with collectors, museum directors, curators, and artists who were again like giving insights into the scene there. But I think it's also time to talk a little bit about what's happening in the city in general. Istanbul's art scene, maybe I should start by talking about the biennial, because it was probably the first initiative that brought international audience into the city. It started in 1987. The first few editions were curated by a Turkish curator, and then they started inviting other curators from other places. But until 2005, it was always only almost exclusively focused on the local and on the local issues and problems. But after 2005, or even I would say 2007 or 9, it became increasingly more interested in the region and in what's happening in the region, in the surrounding places and countries, and in the surrounding region as well. And now this year it's gonna take place in September, and I think it's the, what is it, the 13th or no, 12th? Yeah, something like that. It's been, and this year it's curated by Caroline Christoph Bakargiev. And other than the Istanbul Biennial, we have two art fairs that are taking place every year, one in September and one in November. And of course we have museums which include Istanbul Modern, Sabancı, Borusan, which I talked about, and Pera Museum. And institutions without a collection, including SALT and Aksanat. And among the museums is also, we can also call Arter, because they're preparing for a museum that will open in 2 years' time. And we have, I think, around 10 commercial galleries which take part in international art fairs. And there's there are three artist-run spaces in Turkey now only. Only 5533 in Istanbul. There is a smaller space called Torun in Ankara, and there is a space that's devoted to video works only in Mardin, which is this city in the southeastern region of Turkey. Maybe, I don't know what else to get into, so maybe it's time to open it to questions, or maybe Karin and Olga, you know the scene a bit, you can maybe pose me some questions, and then I will take direction according to that.
I think one of the biggest differences probably with some of the other art scene is this relying on private funding. And I know maybe it's difficult to make comparisons because that's all you have known
yeah.
for your career, but how do you think it has influenced Turkish and Istanbul art scene in particular?
So yes, okay, the only governmental funding, which is very little, it goes towards the Turkish pavilion in Venice, Biennale. And other than that, there's really nothing that goes towards contemporary art as we know it. This means that, of course, there are galleries that are run by municipalities, public galleries, but it's not galleries that we work at or we go to see art at or we have access to even. So contemporary art is very much closed in this private circle, basically, and it's very much based on the initiatives of private individuals. It all started from a private person's passion or, you know, like excitement and so on. So how it started? It started very much with the Istanbul Biennale, which again relies on funding that's collected from many different private sources. And then that was the end of the 80s, and then in the 90s, rather in the beginning of the 2000s, there came the galleries, non-profit, not-for-profit galleries that are owned by banks. So that's again other private funding that came right after the biennial process. And then in the mid of the last decade, so around 2005 or so, commercial galleries started to open. So it was also a time when the economy was doing good in Turkey. You know, there was new investment coming in. There were more interest towards art as well as a natural result of it, which doesn't mean that there was no art production before that. I don't mean that at all. There was great art production, of course. There were great artists all the time, but the art was not really being made visible in to the public in spaces. I mean, there were no spaces and galleries that were devoted to the display of art. So art was rather enclosed in the academy, or there were many artists making art in public spaces. We don't have that anymore, but there used to be a time when most of the art that was being produced, it was for public space. So, I mean, in the streets and so on, in parks as well. So how did it influence? I don't know, it's basically the only thing I have ever worked in, and it's not a very large community of people who make the Istanbul art scene. It's not very large, but it's also it's not as large as London, for instance, but it's I think it's a well functioning structure now. I think the biggest influence, at least from my side as a curator, would be in terms of the audience. I would have liked to reach other audiences as well that are not only art goers of our own surroundings, you know, like of our own private circles in a way, but to reach the wider audience that's out on the street. And I think that it's most of the time it goes through public funding, of course.
When you compare your work, working with a collection, with an expanding circle of works, but still like a limited amount in a given time, and your freelance work, how do you work differently or do you work the same way? How do you start?
First of all, I think I work differently, but I also don't work differently because my attitude towards art, the way I see art is just one, and I always see contemporary art as a way of making sense of the present moment, and I see artworks as tools or devices that facilitate that process of making sense. So this is the way I look at art, and when I work with the collection, I try to, my job there is to present the artworks, but I try to present them as traces or tools of wider discourses that interest the society at large, let's say. Discourses that relate to ecology, discourses that relate to politics maybe as well at some point, or other social issues. And this is the same thing when I do my more research-based work, let's say, research-based curatorial work. It's always the same. I mean, I like to think of artworks not as the final end, but as the beginning of a discourse, or as the beginning, as points of negotiation between people. So in that sense, it is practically different, maybe, but the understanding is the same, and it's the understanding that I have, kind of the responsibility that I have towards art, but also towards my audience as a curator, and yeah, the understand which is my understanding of art basically, which is one.
Can you talk about artists, like Turkish artists?
It's hard to summarize it in just one sentence, and because they are very diverse. But of course, Sarkis is very well known, and I think he's a very, very important artist from Turkey, and he should be known as well. He is in his 70s now, and he lived in Paris since early 60s. And he's representing Turkey in Venice now, and I think it's a great choice. He is an artist from Armenian ethnical origins, and he was born in Istanbul, but he decided to leave Istanbul, to leave Turkey for France because of what was happening back then in terms of his Armenian origins. And the first time he showed his work in Istanbul was actually after he left, was 20 years after he left. I was at 84 at Maçka Sanat Galerisi, at this gallery that I talked about. And he is a very, very important artist for art in Turkey because he opened the way for many younger artists, for all of us, in many different levels. Yeah. And I can, of course, talk about many, many others. And there are many artists that are really great, which inspire me a lot. I'm close friends with many of them. We always come together, we talk about things and projects and initiatives, writings, you know, all sorts of stuff. They mostly stem from all these dialogues that we have between us. And I it's very, very precious and important, I think, for me at least, for making work.
You mentioned before that there is no public funding for us, but it's the economy,
So there is one state academy, but then there are two state academies and two private universities which have art departments. So the academy is a state academy, as I said, it's funded by the government, and the others are art departments inside private. I mean, one which is the very main academy, the oldest one, that's called Mimar Sinan State Academy of Fine Arts, it's quite traditional. This used to be the most powerful art institution in Istanbul, not really anymore, but you can still feel that legacy in the sense that there are art schools inside the academy that are run by artists who are now teachers at these schools, and you can see that it's that kind of power there. It still exercises. I don't think it really leaves space or open space for individual creativity or for younger artists to grow really that much. Whereas the arts department inside the Sabancı University, it's a really good one. The artists who are running the department now, Selim Birsel and Erda Aksel, are really good artists themselves. And I know that they have a good dialogue, they have good programming, and they're really supportive of their young students. And it's a really good one. There was also one, but it's recently it was this other state academy, which is newer than Mimar Sinan, but still quite old. It's probably 20 years old, but it was in the city center. And recently, again, because of all this urban transformation process that's going on now in the city, in a quite manic way, the faculty, the art faculty, is now sent to the almost to the liminals of the city, so it's outside of the center, and therefore it really it lost quite a lot of its let's say energy, but also its potential, because it's difficult to reach transportation wise and so on, and also teachers had left because of some internal managerial changes and so on.
It seems like the art scene is really developed in Istanbul. What is the situation, for example, in Ankara with the galleries and art events, or even the south of Turkey?
Well, in Ankara, there's only one gallery, Siyah Beyaz Gallery, which is an old one, maybe from the 80s onwards. It's a really cool place, actually. It also has a bar, and it's funded by the bar right next door. It's cool, but it's the only gallery. And there is one, this other artist-run initiative called Torun in there, but nothing really else. There is one branch now. There's SALT Ankara. SALT is a it's an institution. It doesn't have a collection. It's not devoted only to contemporary art, but it's rather an interdisciplinary institution which has and its programming is towards about history quite a lot. So SALT has a much smaller branch in Ankara now as well. So they have a regular programming and they bring stuff to Ankara. But Ankara is, other than that, it's free and really, it really needs, but many other places, like, they really need things. Like, everything is super concentrated on Istanbul, and it's, I think, maybe even too much. So in other cities, there are biennials. There may not be galleries, but there are biennials. There is Mardin Biennial, there is Çanakkale Biennial, and Sinop Biennial. So these three biennials in these Anatolian cities, and together with Istanbul Biennial, there are four biennials in total in Turkey. But of course, biennial doesn't really change things in a city itself, because it's only 1 month or 2 months, and when it closes, there's nothing else, it's deserted, and it's not enough, of course.
After Turkey became so open to the Western world and its attention, etc., do you think that the artists started to appropriate the message of Western artists, or they kind of had their own way of work towards this uniqueness? Or, I mean, not only in the way the artwork looks, but
yeah,
in a way of like meditating, thinking
about. Yeah, that's a really, really good question, I think, because it's a very meaningful question everywhere, but especially in Turkey. Because, let me see how to answer this properly. It all started to become international, maybe towards the, I think, in the beginning of the 2000s, but it was a generation that started, that was young in the 90s. It started with a generation of artists who are in their early 40s now, but they were the young artists of the 90s. It's a small community, it's a group of artists that we can count as well. They were making work that was focusing basically on the social, if on the local social issues. And it was, so the international attention that came in the 2000s, it came because of that, because there was this group of artists that was looking at issues that's been never looked at before, almost. And Turkey has always been kind of a lonely country, and it's I think it's always very interesting for people from the outside to look at Turkey in terms of things that are not seen on media, on the news, you know, all that stuff. And so art produced in that period was political, social. It was it posed questions in the political and social sense, and it was open, it was performative, it was based on happenings and actions, so it was very dynamic, and it was exciting, and it was political and strong as well. So so to answer your question, it was because it all started, because we can call that time the origins of all this internationalism going on in the country, because it started with all those artworks. I think the artists, also the generations that came after them, they really did stick to their own issues quite a lot. It's a strong core in art in Turkey. It's still quite political. It fits international ways of making art in terms of some of its aesthetics, or some in terms of the way it communicates some issues, but the content is quite local still to a large extent. So I don't know if I answered. It's a mix,
do the younger artists consider it as a problem to find their own way, in a way, not to just reproduce the methods of producing work in Western world?
Well, again, I never like to generalize things, but from what I see, I don't think they see it as a problem, because I think they find their own way. Like, they're not stuck within a system that poses them certain ways of producing art. I think art that's produced there, it has somehow proved its own way of making. And maybe, of course, some of them would feel the pressures, I don't know, but like in general, I can say that it could preserve its own way of doing things. You know what I mean? But it was, of course, it was a long process, and it didn't happen like suddenly. If it started to happen in the 90s, it was also due to the work that was done before the 90s. There were discussions, for instance, in the VBR hearing, in the Istanbul art scene, about between artists who were making abstract paintings and figurative paintings. And this was the beginning of the 90s. And this might look super ridiculous to us, but it all started from, like, it's a succession of discussions and struggles and things. And it's never complete, or it's never perfect. There's probably nothing as perfect, but it's a continual process of searching and trying to make sense and trying to find meaningful ways of communicating things. And it's a continuous process, I think.
When I asked how the studio visits went, you had a really nice comment in conclusion of all your studio visits, and I wonder if you just want to share it at the end of the talk.
Yeah, I mean, well, honestly, I met, how many artists did I meet? Around 10. So I really think that I'm really impressed, really truly, because I'm impressed by the fact that there is content, And then there is the level of production is really high. Like it's really quality work that's being produced that I saw, and it's really good. And you don't really see it in many other places. Yeah. So I think you are doing a really, really, really good job. And for me, it's really exciting to be here now at this moment, because I can see that it's a special moment. I can see that there are things coming and there are things that are changing. And I'm inspired to be witnessing this, actually. It's really cool.